Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I want to welcome you. I'm Tom Repke, the pastor here at Linden Road, and I want to welcome you to our online presence, and we're going to be here for about an hour. If you're here for the first time, there's a connect card up here in the upper corner. If you click on that, if you haven't already figured it out, there's a way for you to chat. And so just click on the where it says chat there at the bottom here, and it'll ask you to give a nickname. And it's just simply for a way for you to participate. And I hope you'll let us know who you are, and even the opportunity here in a few moments to even invite others to come and join and be part of our time together. But this morning, we're really blessed to have the privilege of hosting a well-known Christian band by the name of Wren Collective. They're from Northern Ireland. They have an amazing way of leading worship, and this morning they've given us this opportunity, and so we want to welcome them. But as we turn our hearts to worship and to singing, I think it's interesting that this group, that their name is actually a way of pointing us in a direction that we want to spend some time today. They take their name from Joel, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." And it's interesting for them, they want us to understand this idea that rending means that really we turn our hearts and that our worship needs to be an inward reality and not just something that we do outwardly. So as we join them in worship this morning, I pray that your hearts will be encouraged. Let's worship.
When your car is broken too, there's only one thing you wanna do. Open your mouth and let it spew. But I am telling you, stay positive. When you're baking a cake for your family, and your kids are hopped up on caffeine, your fluffy cake is now kinda lean. Remember, don't be mean, stay positive. When your bank account is close to red, you want to cry yourself to bed. It could be worse, you could be dead. Remember what I said, stay positive.
Man, what a gift. So grateful for their talents and just the words of encouragement about what it means to be the lighthouse, right? What it means to be people filled with faith and to be the church and what that can offer to our neighbors and our friends and our family. And so along that line, I guess as I'm thinking about where we're going, I thought it would be fun to just try to lean into a conversation about staying positive. Because I don't know about you, but I'm done with the bad news, at least right for now. And I want to see some, be reminded, if you will. And so this conversation is as much for me as it is for you, of the positive things that we need to see as we go forward. I just want to celebrate in a small way the good work that was done since the 1st of March with the God's Field experience here locally. And for the first 15 days, March 1st through the 15th, we were able to gather in our various churches across Mansfield and in the Richland County area. And then as we moved to the online presence and the power of just gathering in that space and that time, and even as we wrapped up on Thursday with the National Day of Prayer, 28 hours of a prayer-a-thon. It was just amazing to see the literally somewhere around 20,000 people were engaged in various ways through that platform. And that should encourage us, I think, because I think it means that people are looking. And so they're looking for help and hope, and that's what we need to be, is hope dealers. And so I want to just offer some thoughts this morning, because when we realize And even the idea if I say that I'm really tired of negativity, that in itself sounds negative, I know. But when we think about the news and the fact that people are dying, have died, and people are sick, and the fear of getting sick, the fact that jobs are vanishing, that the economy is struggling, that it seems as though the nation is divided, and maybe even it's the end of the world as we've known it. And it seems like it's so easy for us to get sucked into it, and then that unsettles us and creates anxiety, and then we begin wondering, are we ever going to get back to normal? And then that can tend to push us to be emotionally on the edge. The small things can make us angry, and yet also I think those things can make us easily discouraged. And so I want to talk about positive, the idea specifically of this simple three-letter word, joy. You know, and so my question to you is, how will this season impact your life for good? You know, what is it about these last, now going on 9 weeks, where you can see there's maybe been some things that have happened in your daily journey that you've got a new perspective on? And how do we call those things out in a way? I mean, we do know that we're going to still have to wash our hands, and we're going to have to still stay 6 feet away, and we're going to have to wear our masks. And yet, we need to stay positive. And in the midst of that, to say we offer hope, even though there's a lot of uncertainty there. And I want to say this too, just some simple observations, that a negative outlook never leads to a positive life. That if we're Eeyore all the time from Winnie the Pooh, it really does, it brings everybody down. And so we want to be people who look to the hope with an unshakable optimistic perspective, that we have a future, and that future is one that God holds in his hands, and that each of us in our own way, as we're trying to figure it out, are going to offer that to each other and to those we come in contact with, socially distanced, right? 6 feet. But how do we do that? And so I just want to walk through a couple things, this idea of optimism. But first, let me pray. Jesus, we're grateful for the truth of your word that encourages us. And as we look into these reminders, I just pray that we would even become more centered in the truth of trusting you and knowing that you've got this. And I pray that you would continue to bring about the innovation and the creativity in our own minds as we think about what it means to be the church in a new day, in this new normal. And we just ask your blessing as we look at your word for your Holy Spirit to speak to us. And we just pray it in your name. Amen. So let me talk about optimism for a moment. I mean, first of all, optimism is not a denial of reality. I can be optimistic and not deny the fact that this is kind of complicated right now. It's all good. It's a challenge. Same time, optimism is not blind faith. It's not naive hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not just thinking, oh, well, it's all going to work out. No, there's a perspective behind it. Optimism is confidence about the future being successful. Optimism is the unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. Again, I've gone back to it before, but as I look behind me and see the lights and to be reminded of the cross and the board that we offer to community as we participated in God's field, and the light is a reminder of the light of the world, and each of the bulbs that were put in was to remind us of the people that need to know the hope of the gospel. And then even as we look at the cross and the chain that's on the cross, to be reminded of that which connects us and not that which divides us, that which because of the cross has made us one as a family called Linden Road, but as the church, capital C. And then the names that we had people put on the board, the names that God has called them, to sit in the moments to be reminded, son and daughter. And as we think, especially today on Mother's Day, the beauty of what our mothers have given us as life and the opportunity we have now to offer that life to so many others. I mean, one scripture we know well is that we've been back to a couple times, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, what things? All things, right? In all things, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that means that it's the impossible boss, the financial setback, the annoying in-laws, the crazy kids that we're not quite sure what to do with, the painful breakup, the inconvenience that's really irritating us right now of being in this season, even the crushing disappointments that have come at us. And yet, we need to be reminded that, even in a negative situation, there still is potential to produce a positive purpose, if you will. And that we, as God's people, need to have an unwavering expectation that our loving God is going to work out every situation. That's what Paul's trying to get us to see here. We need to wrestle with this idea, and I know I've said it before, but it's these things that I think we need to lean into, particularly, is that when we think about what you think about, how do you see the future? I mean, if your thoughts are consumed with negativity and with worry and fear and anxiety, that's all bad news, and that's not going to be a good outcome. Because this is a simple point, but it's simply this, that what consumes your mind also controls your life. And Craig Rochelle says it this way, the life you have is a reflection of the thoughts you think. Think about that for a moment. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts you think. And that really goes to our hearts and how we hold things, how we hold them close. I mean, we can be in a world of trouble. We can get to be a place where we don't really trust anyone. We can hate our circumstances, but we can also, and all those things, if our thoughts are positive that God has got this, even though I'm not quite sure what that means, that there's positive, there's positivity that comes out of that. So what consumes your mind controls your life. And to be reminded that the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. And so where we spend our time and how we spend our time thinking really does have an impact. And that's the problem with pessimism, you see. Pessimism tends to give view negative events as personal and permanent. And that's the thing that we have to be really careful with. Too many times we say that it's my fault, that things are no good, that I'm a failure, that I'm unworthy, that I'm incapable, that I blow it. And even the idea that that mindset can be simply that bad things are just always the things that are going to happen to me and that things are never going to change and that I'm a victim. And that's not true. Or even this idea right now that we think about our economic circumstances, you know, that somehow the economy is shot. Or maybe that we're in a job that we really never wanted. Or maybe we look at the virus as being unstoppable and we're going to have to wear these masks for the rest of our lives. The world will never be safe again. I mean, part of it is that we need to be content and we need to be satisfied. And then we need to be blessed and optimistic, right? Because it's a state of affairs. Is a state of our mind. And so what consumes your mind controls your life. And so I want to ask a little bit deeper. What consumes your thoughts? Are your thoughts ones of faith for the future or are they ones of fear? And what if it's fear? Is it dread? And so one of the ways we can counteract that is to starve our fears we do that by feeding our faith. You know, that we feed what grows and we starve what needs to die. So if you're struggling, one of the ways you can sort of grow is to limit your consumption of news. That's how you can actually think things in a positive way. Or you could also show how you feed your faith by by reading scriptures. Again, one of the cool things that came out of the conversation earlier this week was a number of you pointed out the weight that you've received of joy from being in sharing a Bible plan together. And just put a reminder out there to find us on YouVersion as Linden Road and join in that Bible plan together. It's so beautiful to hear the comments as we all lean into a particular understanding and the joy that we can take in that and how that can encourage us to be people of faith. Now, it's interesting that when we read Romans 8, it's the one we usually go to when life is complicated, we need to be reminded that it actually follows Romans chapter 7. And if we look at Paul's life in Romans chapter 7, we find out that he was a mess. And that some of the things he's saying to himself in Romans 8 is that he's trying to talk himself towards a perspective of faith. And that, you know, he really, life was complicated for him. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8, 18. Paul's reminding himself, Paul, this guy who suffered, and if we look at his life story, it's full of mess, especially in his later years. He was imprisoned multiple times. Five times he received over 40 lashes. Three times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned, and I don't mean medicinally. I mean literally stoned with stones. He was shipwrecked. He spent a night at the sea. He was betrayed, and he was beaten and left for dead. And yet it's the present sufferings that are not worth comparing the coming glory, he says. That he knows that something better is coming, and so whatever he's enduring in this life, he's going to continue to endure because he knows there's something greater coming. So my question to you is, how are you hurting? What have you lost? Are you experiencing hardship? Are you facing a job loss? Or are you worried sick? Or are you battling cancer? Or maybe you're in a relational challenge? Maybe there's something going on with the marriage, or maybe it's your kids, or maybe you've been betrayed by a friend, or maybe it's just the fact that you're having to do hard work at home. And so I want us to hang on this one truth, is that the struggle that I'm in today is producing the struggle and is producing the strength I need for tomorrow. The struggle I'm in today is producing the strength I need for tomorrow. I mean, Paul says that he can't even begin to compare his current struggles with what he knows is going to be the blessings that come from God and the glory that's going to be revealed in us because of what he's done for us. So maybe a takeaway for today, a thought, is this the unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. And again, as we gather for God's Field, the song that I've referred to a couple times, Waymaker, that God is the waymaker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness, that he is for us in all these things and wants us to become those very things for other people. And so if we build on this idea that we are unwavering, that God is for us and that he's working in every situation for our future good, then maybe that'll help us starve our fears and defeat our faith, and the idea of renewing our thoughts on Scripture, and that probably this one truth is always one that we need to hang on to, is that our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And that's another reason why we need to be in the Word. Again, Paul says in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You know, that's really great news for us, right? That when we feel incapable, when we're unsure, when we're uncertain, and literally when we're worn out and exhausted, that we're never alone, and that the beauty of seeing as we gather in this room and as you look over my shoulder, the reminder of the cross, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is actually the same Spirit that's available to us to give us hope as we lean into our days ahead. And so if you're feeling a little weak or discouraged or overwhelmed or exhausted, and I know we've heard this statement before, but it's not quite right, this idea that God helps those who help themselves. That's not really what Scripture says, that God helps those who need his help. That when we're weak and we're broken and we're desperate, that's when he shows up with his Holy Spirit to encourage us. That when we're hurting, he is our comfort. When we are confused, he is our guide. When we're discouraged, he is our hope. When we're anxious, he becomes our peace. When we are weak, he is our strength. Again, looking back at Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I got to tell you, in my own story, in my own day-to-day, there are days that I love, there are days that I endure, there are days that also bring heartbreaks. And so even in the inconveniences and the crushing disappointments that we face and the uncertainty that we face, that God is there. Now, again, the beauty of just your generosity, I just have to mention that again, through Richland Gives last week, the global day of giving in which we all gathered together in a particular way to help our neighbors. Some almost $40,000 was raised, and just in our context alone, several thousand dollars were raised, almost $3,000 were raised, and those monies we've set aside to be used to help our neighbors. And even this week, Carolyn took food on our behalf, on your behalf, to the homeless shelter on Harker Street to just bless the men. And we've made a commitment over the next few weeks to continue to do that. And some of you directed your generosity towards Adam McLean and the good work he's doing in Baja California. And so it's those things that we take great joy in. And it's also the beauty of this. Check out this video as we help some of our friends celebrate Mother's Day. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And I'm grateful for Carolyn and Maddie and Linda and Sheila as we traveled around town and just surprised some of our friends just to say, we want to bless you. Because you see, when we offer these moments of happiness, it's not about lowering our expectations so that we won't be disappointed. Actually, what we need to do is raise our expectations about what it is we think God can do in and through us. That we know that if we raise our expectations based upon the faithfulness of God, upon his presence and his power, some amazing things are going to happen. So when we think about going back to normal, I want to suggest that I don't want to go back to normal. I actually want to go back to something that's better than normal. Because I think the culture we had that we were all leaning into was just really troubling. And it's my prayer as we look to the future that because of things that we're going to do as a church and what the church, capital C, is going to begin doing in a whole new way, partly because of this digital platform and because partly I think that Jesus is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him to be his hands and feet, is that it's my prayer that as we get things back to a better normal, that marriages will become stronger and that the families will become closer and that the love that we have in our communities will grow deeper and that that'll be demonstrated through our generosity of our time and our talent and our treasures and that as Christians we'll become bolder in our ability to share the gospel and that the light of the church will become brighter. And because of that, then, the harvest that God's calling us to help introduce other people to the promise of the gospel in the life that comes in knowing Jesus will be bigger. For Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the heights nor the depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." And that love is in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. So no matter where I go, my God is there. No matter what I do, my God still loves me. And no matter what happens to me, my God is for me. You see, it's the unwavering expectations that our loving God is working in every circumstance and situation. for our future good. And so thanks for being part of our worship experience today. Thanks for joining us. Please, again, connect on the Connect card and let us know if there's anything we can be praying for. And in the week ahead, I pray God's richest blessings. You've been blessed to be a blessing. We'll see you again here next week.